Okay, cool. So I think it's working. I think we're recording. Okay, hello everybody. I'm going to actually unmute everybody so I can hear you all say hello. So hang on one second. We're cool here. All right, you guys all there? Hello? Hello, hello? Okay, I guess not. Mute all listeners. Mute individual lines. Okay, let's try that again. All right, there we go. Hey, gang, are you all there? All right. Hey, so listen, happy holidays to everybody. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Are you all excited about this call, yes or no?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute all listeners. All right, gang, so I just muted you back because obviously you can tell we got a ton of people on the call. It's very loud, and I want to make sure that you can hear me really well. We're officially going to start the call now. First of all, I want to welcome everybody to the live Power Hour with Daryl. I just love how that sounds. And I want to first welcome all the new Power Agents that are on the call. And I'm going to explain, we're going to go over just some logistics for a couple of minutes before I get into the content. I want to also thank people that are calling from different parts of the world. I know that some of you are up at really crazy hours, and so I want to thank you for doing that too. Now, this is a live call, and hopefully we are recording it. It says that we are. But it seems like this company has changed their technology a little bit, and so first time working with this new technology, I'm not sure. So hopefully it is recorded, and we're going to post it on the Power Program website by next week, so you'll be able to listen to the call. Now, if you have any questions during the call, what I'd like you to do is you'll hit *6 on your keypad one time. So let me say that again. If you want to talk to me so I can hear you, you'll hit *6 one time. Give it 10 seconds. It's a delayed reaction. And then I'll be able to hear you and you and I can talk. I am going to ask you, part of the purpose of this call is really a couple of things. First of all, is to go over the magazine that is on the website. So I'm going to be referencing the website and the magazine. For you guys to get access to the magazine, you have to log in with your username and password to see it. If you lost your username or password, just send us an email or call my office after the call. You can try emailing now. My assistant Alicia is in the office, and hopefully she'll be able to respond to you pretty quickly. So that's the first part of the first objective of the call, is to go over that magazine. The other one, though, and more important to me, is the coaching aspect. You know, this is an opportunity for you to ask me questions and to get some one-on-one coaching with a bunch of people listening in. Usually when you have a question, you know, there's everybody on the call should get value, and I try and always answer your specific questions, and then I'll embellish on it so that way, regardless of what the question is, everybody should get value. So I want you to start to think right now, what is it that you need help with or something that you want to ask me? This is your opportunity to get that free one-on-one coaching, if you will. So, all right, let's see. And by the way, some of you actually have emailed me questions ahead of time. And so I'm going to go through the questions that I've gotten thus far today and address that with you. Now, I'm going to call out the name of a person here, Candace Watkins. Now, Candace, if you're on the call, what you're going to do is hit *6 and just give it a few minutes, you know, a few seconds there for it to respond. Do it one time. So, Candace, are you on the call? Candace, are you there? Because I think you're supposed to be on the call. Candace, hit *6 one time, and then I'll be able to hear you. Okay, great. I'm going to answer her question anyway. Becky, are you on the call? So Becky, Tanika, also Marie, if you guys are on the call, if you'll hit *6 one time and then say something so I can hear you.
Hey, I'm on the line. It's Becky.
Okay, hey Becky, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thanks for that. I wanted to make sure that this was working because Candace wasn't responding. Who else? Tanika, Marie, are you there? Hello?
This is Marie. I'm here. Hi, Del.
Hi, Marie. Good. Do you have me on a speakerphone or on a cell phone?
Cell phone and speaker.
Okay, good. All right. Because the speaker creates a little bit of an echo, so maybe while I talk to you, if you can take it off. But why don't you guys just stay there? Let me first handle Becky's question. So you guys just stay unmuted. Becky must not have been able to make it onto the call. So let me answer her Candace. Let me just handle Candace's question for everybody, okay? So one of the things that Candace was asking was about the easy business plan that in one of the magazines I gave to you guys about planning for 2015. And her question was about how to handle the MLS numbers and try and figure out the stats. So I'm going to just do a broad answer on that question. If she was on the call, I could be a little bit more specific. But when you're trying to figure out your business plan for 2015, gang, which, by the way, you all should be doing that right now. You know, here it is, December, the slowest time of year. I will tell you the two things that are really good to focus on this time of year going into the second week of January is, number one, is working on your business, getting organized, anything that you feel is important that that you need to work on your business other than prospecting, getting listings, building inventory, you know, money-generating activities. This is a time when we should be balancing a little with our personal life, our holidays, spending time with family, and then looking at your business and things that you feel that you've been putting off that maybe you need to work on. So, for example, with me personally, we've got we're doing a new demo video for me as a speaker, and I really just don't have the patience or the time to sit down in front of a computer and watch myself for hours to try and pull out segments that we're going to use in the demo video. I feel like it's frustrating. I'd rather be doing other activities, recording other videos, and giving value to people. But during this slow time of year, if you will, that's one of my projects that I'm going to be working on. So I want you to think of what are the projects you want to work on. The second thing is definitely your business planning. Most agents should already have their business plan done already, but if you haven't, here's how you kind of figure out your stats. What I think Candace was asking was, if you look at the number of listings that are currently on MLS and to figure out what's your average days on market. So if you look at the number, there's reports that your MLS will usually be able to give you that'll show you, you know, of all the houses that sold from January to November, what was the average list price, what was the average sales price, and what was the average days on market. And these are kind of important numbers for you to understand for a couple of reasons. Number one is it helps you manage your business. Like if you know that you go into January and you've got no listings and by the end of January you got three, and if the average days on market for something to sell is 60 days, well, you still know that you're going to go February, March, based on those stats, without any of those listings selling. So that's the whole concept, is to get a handle on those numbers. The other reason why that's really important, gang, is, and you should be doing that on a quarterly basis, because when you go into a listing appointment, one of the things that we need to do with a homeowner, now this is very important what I'm saying, gang. We all know that homeowners that don't want to work with realtors, even the ones that do, sometimes they don't see us as professionals, that they think they can do what we do. So part of what we need to do on a listing appointment is convey this level of expertise, this knowledge, to show them, hey, listen, I know more about this market than you do, and without blatantly saying that. So if you go into a listing appointment and you have a conversation with them about, you know, here's what's happening in the market, here's what's happened in the last 90 days, here's the number of listings that have come on, here's the days on market. By the way, never round off days of market. Never say that it's, you know, when a house sells, the average house sells in about 60 days. If the number comes out to 58, then use the number 58. The reason why is because psychology says that when you don't round off numbers, it looks like a real valid study and you really know your numbers. So going into a listing appointment and saying, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, here's what's happening right now in the market. If you look at the average sales price to the average list price to sales price ratio, you'll see that we're kind of flat right now because this time of year there's fewer buyers that are coming out. And so that kind of doesn't drive the numbers. But here's the good thing. You'll see that maybe the day, that's the list price to sales price ratio. But if you look at the days on market, actually what happens is things sell a little bit quicker that are new to the market because the types of buyers that come out are serious buyers, the only ones that will look at during the holidays. So you showing a homeowner that you've got a real handle on your local market, not just nationally, that will show them that you're more of an expert than they are. And you get that information from your MLS. I hope that helped you, Candace. All right. Is it Tanika, Becky, who's on the call again, who unmuted themselves?
Marie.
All right, Marie, so I'm going to talk to you, and then after I talk to you, I'm going to ask you to mute yourself, and then I'll go on to the next question. So, Marie, ask me your question again. I have it printed out, but go ahead. Just use your own words right now.
Sure. There's a school of thought that says that instead of when you meet with the seller, instead of going through your entire marketing plan, use that time to go through the CMA and really sell them on pricing their property correctly. And so we should send a pre-listing packet before we get to the meeting, explaining our marketing, explaining our value, detailing the company that we work with. All of that is done, all of that is out of the way. And then mm-hmm. when we meet with the seller, it's just 45 minutes of really, while looking at the house, of course, but also talking about pricing. So what are your thoughts on that school of thought?
Okay. So you're asking me, is it okay or is it better to drop off a version of your listing appointment that talks about you and how you market properties and your credibility and have the homeowner look through that, and then when you go over face-to-face, and have that first appointment, you're actually just going to focus on talking about price. Is that what you're saying, Marie?
That's exactly right,
yeah. Okay. So I'm sure, I mean, if you really think about it, there's a huge problem with that. And the huge problem with that is, what if they don't look at what you drop off?
No, of course. I mean, you make the point, you stress the fact that they need to review it beforehand.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. So you stress it really, really strongly. And they still don't look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. There's probably things that I have stressed to you and the other power agents on this call on things that you should be doing to make more money in real estate. My question is, are you doing the things that I stress you and that I'm very forceful about and telling you this is what you need to do? Or what about a trainer who says, you know what, here's how you lose weight. I'm really stressing the importance that you not eat after 6 o'clock and that you work out 4 times a week. Does that stressing how important that is that going to make somebody actually do it?
Not necessarily, no.
Yeah, of course not. Especially if you're talking about a FSBO or expired, they're certainly not going to look at it because they don't even want you to come over.
Right.
So I think you can already gather what my thought is on this. And my thought is dropping off pre-listing packages is really a waste of time. Now, I will tell you that because you can't control what they do, you can't trust what they do. And let's say they do look through it. Well, you're still not controlling the meaning that they're giving it, because you can't just send over some kind of book that's printed and visual. It's still not going to explain it the way you would want to explain it in having a conversation.
Right.
All right. So people list with people. They don't list with printed material. The printed material is just a backup to your speaking. And here's the other thing. I'm going to get really, really ridiculous with this analogy. It's like, all right, before you get married, you don't date the person. You just send them your resume. And you hope to God that they do their due diligence, that they look at your resume, they call your references of your past relationships. Right? and they watch video of you. I won't even talk about how you are as a sexual partner and how they check into that. So here's my point. My point is that a printed something is still not going to present you in your best light. People list with people. They need to know who you are by you talking to them. So here's what I say. And by the way, if anybody has questions about what I'm saying, you can unmute yourself and then interrupt me and ask me. So here's what I would say, Marie. The best way to do it is if you do have time and you do want to drop off some credibility stuff, fine. I wouldn't drop it off because if they answered the door when I'm dropping it off, they'll say, all right, well, you know what? We were going to call you. We want to cancel, right? So I wouldn't want to see them. I never used anything to drop off. I was still able to, if I went on 10 FSBOs, I would list 7 out of 10. So, and I never dropped anything off because I would go in there, I would build a relationship with the people, I would tour the house, I would give them my background, my credibility, I would show them the value of what a realtor does for them, and here's how I use the tools that realtors have to help get their property sold. And if all that made sense, are you ready to work with me? Do you feel it's better that I help you in this process than you trying to do this on your own? And if they said yes, then I wouldn't then present price and present commission. You can't present price and commission effectively if they first don't buy into that they're better with you than without you.
Right. And don't get me wrong, regarding FSBOs, I totally see the value of going through the full presentation, by the way.
Yeah, all right, good. So go through the whole presentation and then talk about price. If you want to drop off some kind of value-added, like, you know, if they look at it, great, but if they don't look at it, it's still not going to make any impact in what you do when you do go over there, that's fine. You just want to consider, number one, it's an extra trip. Number two is if you bring it over, maybe there's a chance that they're going to cancel the appointment or something, okay? If you want to mail something where you don't have to go over there. And I will say this. I mean, when I did the listing appointments, I call a FSBO at 5. I'd be going over at their house that night. So there wouldn't be any time for me to drop something off. Now, I did try that process. There was a speaker, I won't mention her name. She was really big at promoting this pre-listing package. It was like a brag book. It was promoting just what you were saying. And I did try that, and I found that it didn't work for me. I actually lost more listings than gained. So my style is I like to call at 5, get an appointment, and go over there at 6, have the conversation, leave with the listing, be back in my office by 9. That's what I preferred, okay?
Got it. Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
All right, Marie, do me a favor. Hit *6 again. That's going to put you back on mute, okay? All right. Thanks for that, Marie. Great question. I appreciate you emailing that ahead of time. Becky, Tanika, are either one of you on with me?
I'm here. Becky.
Becky, hi, Becky. All right, so same thing. I want you to ask me a question, your own words. By the way, gang, that everybody that's listening in, if you don't email me any questions because I'm not staring at my computer. I'm focused on the call. So if you want to ask me something now that you didn't email ahead of time, you'll hit *6 one time, and that will unmute you. All right, Becky, go ahead. Ask me your question.
Well, I actually wrote it about 3 days ago, so I'll try to remember exactly. I'm normally not able to attend the Friday calls, and I thought that they were all recorded on the website, and I can't seem to find that. But the other questions that I have regarding listings, do you emphasize more so addressing FSBOs or expireds or withdrawns? And if you do work expireds and withdrawals, how do you get those seller phone numbers?
Okay, great. So, and Tanika, if you're on the call, you asked the same question. Are you with me, Tanika, or no? Okay, so I'm going to handle Becky your question and Tanika's at the same time. And let me just read your whole question because I think you got part of it. You said, I'm not able to join the account. You did very well the last few years, but you've been spending a ton of money on leads from internet sites like Trulia, Zillow, Realtor.com. You're systematically canceling your advertising with them, and you've determined to generate lots of listings from here on, which makes my heart smile, Becky, so that's great. Buyers have been lucrative, but they have completely exhausted me physically, and I work crazy all the time, which is not efficient. Well, I'm glad that you had this religious experience, Becky.
It's a bad religion, let me tell you.
It sounds like you're born again, you know.
God.
I'm a born-again listing agent, yes. my question is, between working FSBOs, expireds, or mailings, which do you feel is a better use of my time and resource? How do you get the phone numbers from the expireds? Do you think all three should be done consistently? Okay, so here's Becky. I'm going to give you a website. There's a company, Becky, I've talked about in my seminars called the Red X. And what are you familiar with this company, Red X?
I remember you mentioning it on your little conference that I went to, but I have not visited them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say what I said at the seminar that you attended and reiterate it, okay? Let me give you the website first and the password.
Okay.
It's darrylspecial.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L, special.com. There's no space in between those words. And then when you see that, you'll type the coupon is SMILE, S-M-I-L-E. Now, when you do that, they're going to waive the setup fee of $150. In the first 30 days, there's no charge. Then it goes to $110 a month. It's really inexpensive when you think about if you got one listing in the course of a year that sells, it pays for itself. But you should actually be getting, 12 and 20 listings in a year at a minimum. But it's what this company will do is they find the FSBOs and expireds for you. They research it. They tell you who's on the do not call list. They'll reverse it for you. Whenever possible, they'll give you the address because they reversed it. If somebody is both an expired and a FSBO, they'll merge the records together so you won't have duplicates. It's really, to me, the best system out there. Now, there are some flaws. It's not perfect all the time, but I don't think there's any system out there that's perfect all the time. I'm laughing because, gang, I'm going to teach you guys something. I'm going to go off this, Becky, just a little bit, okay, because there's something that I just thought of I wasn't planning on sharing, but I'm going to share it now. So we're in the process of redoing my demo video, and so I hired a videographer to come videotape one of my live seminars about designing a life worth smiling about. That one didn't come out well, so then I hired another person to do it, and that hasn't come out well. So far, I've spent $3,000 to have videos that I can't use. Now, Here's what I learned, that sometimes what we do in business is we take risks, we take investments, we try and improve our business, and we spend the money. Like Becky, what you've done, same similar concept where you've been spending money on Trulia, Zillow, Realtor.com, and to try and get these internet leads, and you've learned that it's not working for you. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, it works. It's just if I was a machine, but I'm not. I'm exhausted.
You're exhausted. Well, it's working as far as getting buyer leads, but not getting the listing.
Yeah, I mean,
leads.
I made a lot, more money than I expected, but I worked all the time late into the night, and I have a family, and I'm a single mom. I don't have time to destroy my life to make money.
Yeah, all right, very good, and I'm so glad you're getting – okay, so I'll go back to that in a second. So the point I was trying to make about the demo video and spending the money, all of us – that there's times in our life and our business that we may make investments to try and improve our business. That investment doesn't work. What's really important is that you not get hung up on it, because if you get hung up on it, you get stressed about it, you get angry about it. The time that you spend beating yourself up or getting angry, or not even beating yourself up, trying to beat the other person up, whatever it is going to cost you even more money, because your time is worth money. So in business, you make an investment,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
I mean, because none of it works completely. Some of it works great. Some of it doesn't work, and you cut that and move on.
Exactly. Okay, very good. All right, so now let me get – so I felt – I don't know why. I know somebody on this call definitely needed to hear that. So, all right, let's – so back to you, Becky, as far as the Red X. So the Red X is a great program that works quite often on giving you the leads so you don't have to go find them, you don't have to research them, you don't have to reverse them. And it's like a database for you to manage your leads. So I highly recommend them. Now, what I'm going to suggest you do, which it sounds like you're going to do pretty quickly, you don't want to waste that 30 days free that they're giving you. So I would not sign up until you're ready to actually start using it. So what you may want to do, Becky, is go to the website and look at the demo video, kick the tires, get a sense of how it works. And when you're ready to start making your FSBO calls and expired calls, so let's say, you know, you want to start calling Sunday and today's Friday. So, you know, you may say, all right, let me spend the weekend in getting familiar with the software and checking it out. And maybe Monday I'm going to ask questions, so I won't start until Tuesday. So when you are ready to start calling your first set of FSBOs on Tuesday, that's when I would sign up. I would sign up on Monday, load it onto your computer, kick the tires a little bit more and start making the calls. And every day, and what happens, Becky, is that they're going to give you leads, always new. So every day when you download the leads for the day, they're not duplicating leads. So you may only get like two or three on Monday, and you may only get one or two on Tuesday, and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you got like two or three leads, let's just say two leads a day, that's 60 FSBOs a month. You follow me, Becky?
Right. Yeah, that's more than enough.
Exactly. Now, some agents, what they do, right, because I've heard this a lot, and they'll say, well, you know, I only got a couple today. And so they look at it and they say, well, it's really not giving me a lot of leads. But what they're missing is that what the math that I just shared with you. So I find that the Red X works best if that every day you download the leads for the day, bang out those calls, call those homeowners, and if you do that every day, you know, you should be getting, by the first 30 days, you should get at least one or two listings, maybe more, depending on your skill level on the listing appointment, okay?
Okay.
All right, good. Now, do you have any other questions about, you know, because I'm really excited that you're wanting to become a listing agent, so do you have any questions about the calls or about the appointments or anything that will help you in that regard?
No, I actually have been enjoying your DVD series or CD series that I purchased at your conference. So I
Good.
Just refresh my memory on those. I think repetition is the key.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, also, Becky, the FSBO CD, did you get the complete package with all the CDs or you only got some
yes.
of them?
No, okay. I got the whole package.
Okay, that FSBO CD is all audio, right? So there isn't a workbook. What will really help you with the actual dialogue for calling FSBOs is mm-hmm. on this website, the Power Program website. When you mm-hmm. log in with your username and password, go to that word on the website that says classroom. It's up top. When you go mm-hmm. to classroom, you're going to see a whole list of categories, and one of them will say visuals for sellers. Anyway, you'll see the FSBO dialogue is there in the classroom. It's a PDF, so when you click on it, Adobe will launch, and you can print out the script for actually calling the FSBOs. That'll be useful when you're listening to the FSBO CD, okay?
Now, if I can't find these things on the website, which
yeah.
I'm looking at it now and I don't see, can I call the office number? Or
Yes, after this call, after the call. I mean, we're not really great with tech support stuff, but no, like stuff like that, we can certainly help you. So I'm going there now. Are you logged in to the website now?
I am.
Yeah. Actually, here's where it is. If you're logged in, go to the word up top that says classroom. Are you there?
Right.
All right, so if you look down, it says the first thing you should see says approved power vendors, power agent learning systems. Do you see that?
No, it just says this month's featured members only content.
Yeah, because you're not logged in. That's why it says that.
But it says, howdy, Becky Westra, at the top of my screen, so I thought
okay.
it was...
All right, do me a favor one more time. So one more time, and then I'm going to move off this because I don't want other people on the call to get frustrated.
Right.
But if you look at, click on, just do one more time for me, that word that's next to home. It says classroom, and it's before about the program.
Okay.
All right. And tell me, do you see the word classroom approved vendors? Do you see approved power vendors as the first link?
No, it's not there, but I don't want to take time from this.
All right, so yeah, so just call my office and then they'll walk you through it. Maybe there's something going funky. So, all right, good. All right, Becky, thank you so much. And by the way, that dialogue, it's actually under the word called dialogues. I was wrong where it says. So on the page that's classroom, you're going to look for dialogues, FSBO dialogue from Sure Results, okay? And there's also expired dialogue there too, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Becky. All right. So, Becky, me a favor. You're welcome. Hit star 6, please, and that's going to put you back on mute, Becky, okay?
Will do. Thanks.
Thanks, Becky. All right. Anybody else on the call that has a question that you need some one-on-one coaching? Anybody on the call that needs one-on-one coaching? All right. So we're going to be shy. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Before we get into the magazine, on the Power Program website, gang, there's a magazine. I'm going to talk about just a few things that I think you should be focusing on now between now and January, okay? And then I want to go over the magazine if I have time. The first part is, even though you just heard me talk to Becky about how important listings are and that should be the focus, I think this is the time of year when we actually should shift gears and focus on buyers. And the reason why that is, and I'm sure most of you will know what I'm going to say, is anybody that's going to come out and look at real estate during Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, and in some parts of the country got some really cold weather. Actually, in Florida, 60 is a cold front for those folks down there. Every time I talk to my uncle who lives in Florida, he's like, it's freezing down here. It's 60. You know, I want to put a bullet in his head. But because here in New York, it's a little chillier. But anybody that goes out in the uncomfortable weather, let's say it that way, with the holidays, it's got to be serious. So what I find is that if there was any time of year for you to easily pop a sale and make something happen pretty quickly, now is the time. So I want you to look at shiny pennies. Hang on one second. How do you get all we need to do in a day? Yeah. Okay. Michelle just asked me a question via the website. So I'll answer your question in a second, Michelle. So what you should do with working with buyers is you should find the shiny pennies that are out there. And I just want to remind you what the shiny penny concept is. Most of you on this call should already be familiar with it. And I'm going to do it a real simple way. If you take all the homes and put them into price categories, and every category there's, you know, let's say 200 to 250, 250 to 300, 300 to 350, et cetera. In all of those categories, those groups of price ranges, there's usually a handful of homes that are better than all the others based on the square footage, based on the location, based on how it shows. In other words, that the definition of shiny penny is bang for the buck. It doesn't matter who listed the property. It could be another office, another company. It doesn't matter. It's the next house to sell. What we know is that buyers never buy what they say they're going to buy because what they wind up buying is the shiny penny, the best of the best. So what you may want to do between now and the second week into January is to look at the buyers that you currently have right now. If they're willing to come out and see a shiny penny, it's a good chance that they're going to buy now. Another thing that some of you may want to consider doing is actually doing open houses. We're kind of getting kind of close because we're really pushing it on that with this time of year. But I wouldn't do it Christmas week, that's for sure. But perhaps after New Year's, that first weekend after the New Year's, I would do an open house. Same concept, any buyers that are going to come out. You also want to make sure between now and our next conference call that you spend some time with your family, that you don't keep working and working and working. I just posted a video today on Facebook. Those of you that are not following me on Facebook, my Facebook handle is Daryl Speaks, Daryl Speaks. I post 3 videos there every week. The video I just posted today was about this Black Monday and, you know, Small Business Saturday and all these different, you know, sales that we've been seeing. And I actually had a friend of mine tell me that you know, their spouse was waiting online to get a really, really, really low-priced TV, and which is, I guess, good. But my concern is that isn't the quality of life worth something? You know, if you're spending a whole day or a whole night sleeping out trying to get a deal, isn't that cost you something? So, you know, make sure that you don't work so hard in your business that it costs you, like Becky was saying, you know, she's a single mom. You've got to balance that personal time between yourself and your family. And this, if there's any time when you need to, like, pull back and give them some of yourself, now is definitely that time. Now, tied to that same concept, Michelle just Gustafson, she had asked via the website here, about time management. You know, how do you manage your time, and what's the... Michelle, if you're on the call, can you hit *6 on your phone one time so that way I can actually talk to you? It'll take about 10 seconds, so be patient.
Hi.
Just wait. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So why don't you just embellish on your question about time management and how to manage it?
Well, I just think going forward, you know, as you do your goals for the year and try to sit down and review all the things that you'd like to accomplish, one of the things are I look at my numbers and I think, how do I accomplish those? Because you only have so many hours in the day. And I guess I do have a sheet that gives me every hour that I kind of fill in, but it's very hard to stick with that. But maybe if there's some key things that you could focus on that would help with time management.
Okay, I'm going to give you what I think is like the absolute easiest time management tip, if you'd like it.
Okay.
I was waiting for a response to you. Would you like it?
Of course.
All right. You know, there's I'm going to talk about your to-do list and the schedule that you just said. So you have a sheet that you use that kind of schedules your time and your hours, yeah? Is that what you said, or did you just mute yourself again, Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, don't mute yourself. Stay with me. So did you say that you had a sheet that you fill out that kind of says, this hour I'm doing this and this hour I'm doing that?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to share an analogy to this, and then I'm going to give you my time management tip. So the last time I was at Disney World, I had downloaded this app, and the app was, you know, showing you the wait times on the rides. Are you with me on this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was walking through the park, staring at my iPhone, trying to figure out which is the best path, the best ride, the best whatever. And after about an hour, what I realized was that I wasn't really even at the park. I mean, physically I was at the park, but I spent more time staring at my app than I was appreciating Disney World around me. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And so I did a video that's called The Map is Not the Territory. You know, when you're living in the map or the app, you're really not participating in life and being in the territory, being in the moment, being in the experience. So sometimes when we try and be too rigid with our to-do list, your to-do list is not your life. And if you got really efficient at doing a whole bunch of stuff and just really working, like, all right, here's what I'm going to do from 10 to 11. If I do from 11 to 12, da-da-da-da, you know, you might be just highlighting and accomplishing a lot of things on your to-do list, but you may not be really experiencing what you're doing throughout your day and in your life. That's number one. Number two is, if you fall off track just a little bit, which I know you've experienced this because I've done what you've done. You know, if you go from 10 to 11 and then 11 to 12 and 12 to 1, and if let's say from 10:30 turns to 11:15 on a task, and now that gets thrown off. And so now you create this ripple effect where you feel like you're behind the whole day in your schedule. Have you ever felt that?
Yes.
Yeah. And so then that becomes frustrating. So here's what I found works best for me. What I do is There's been a lot about being, I've been doing a lot of research about smiling, and one of the things that it said is that when you're really, one of the ways that you can smile more in your life is if you take the time to write down the things that you're appreciative of in your life. So if you sat down and you said, okay, what's the two or three things that I accomplished today that I'm really thankful for? So if you do that, you know, you're going to train the brain to look for more reasons to be thankful. Well, I started to play with another version of that, which seems to be working extremely well for me. Instead of me sitting down on my desk and thinking about what have I done today that I'm thankful for, is actually reversing it. Sitting down at my desk in the morning and writing out three things that I know I'm going to be thankful for at the end of the day. So by you taking the time, Michelle, and saying, all right, what are the three things that I can accomplish in my business that will put a smile on my face? What are the three things? Like, forget everything else. Forget all the other stuff I have to do. If there was only these three things, if I did these three things and nothing else, that it would really make me smile and make me feel good and make my heart sing. What are those things? So instead of you trying to accomplish a whole bunch of stuff, actually just looking at those two or three things that are really going to forge your business and really make you happy. Is that making sense what I'm saying?
Sure.
What's that?
Sure. Yep.
All right. So that's the one thing. The other thing that you can do, obviously, and just get a little bit more logistic with it, is so that's the simple version. The other thing to do is to look at picking specific days when you're going to do specific activities. For example, for me, when I was calling FSBOs and expireds, I prefer to call Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at night. Because on the weekends, I like to work, you know, if I were going to take buyers out and show some property, I would do that. The other reason why is if I called a FSBO on Friday that and I got in the door, they would say, well, give me the weekend, call us back after the weekend. So I found Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was my prospecting days to work my FSBOs and expireds. So I did that part. Then the other part was making sure that you get home by a certain time. So you have to really commit to your family and to the people in your life that you're going to end at a certain time. The last thing is you should pick, you know, a family night, family day. Are you married? Do you have children?
I'm married. My kids are grown and gone.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, having one night that's, you know, you and your husband spend time together. And committing to that like it's an appointment. And the last thing that I found that really works with time management, with balancing between the business and family and personal, is having what I call a memory-making list. I used to call it a family fun list. But what it is that you make a list of activities that you would like to do with your husband. And usually when we feel like we need to spend time together, we'll either go to the movies or go to dinner. And those seem to be the two things that all realtors lean on to spend some family time. This idea is that you would actually make a list of all different things, bowling, things that don't cost money, things that you can do quickly. You know, go to the museum, go bowling, whatever. So you make a list of activities you and your husband like to do. You hang it up on the refrigerator. And then the game is that you don't do the same item twice. So you do one item, and then what you do is cross it off, although I prefer to use a yellow highlighter. So you highlight that item off the list, and now the next time when you want to do something with your husband that's creative, to create memories, instead of going back to the thing that you've always done, you now have to look on the list and see what's left over and do one of those items. So by doing this, you'll start to experience new experiences with your husband because it's not the same old, and you'll be creating new memories. Okay.
Okay, thanks. Yep.
Yeah, is there anything else you want to ask me on that, Michelle?
No, that's fine. Thanks.
You sure? Did that help you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to, I mean, I know daily what you all have to get done, and then you have interruptions, so that's the other issue that always happens, and you have to prioritize. So, but no, thanks.
So there's the concern about getting interrupted and doing those kind of things, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the way to handle the interruptions, I mean, there's so many different techniques, but really, Michelle, I'm going to just really simplify it for you, and I hope that in the simplicity of it, there is power in it, so I don't want to make it sound like I'm just, you know, trying to make it something that it's not. interruptions are not the problem. The problem is that you let the interruptions interrupt you. So things are always going to come up, yeah? So the problem is not the thing that's coming up. It's that you're allowing that thing to distract you or stop you or take you off task.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so that's really an important distinction that you be aware of, because when you say it's the interruptions, then you take the power away from you and you're putting it on those things. The time management, what I find the real issue in time management, it's a commitment issue. You know, people who are really focused and committed to accomplishing certain things, they have a vision of something that they want for themselves, and they stay committed to the vision and the tasks that support that vision. So if you do what I said earlier, which is you write down just three things that you're committed to accomplishing each day that you're going to feel proud of and you're going to feel like you're moving your life forward, those distractions won't distract you anymore. You need to have those three things, write it down, post it on your screen, whatever is going to support you, Michelle. But your whole day should be, I need to make sure that this is what I said I'm committed to, that I got to make sure that these three things happen. And if you do that, you're going to feel more in control of your time. It's a commitment mm-hmm. issue. It's not a time management issue, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Michelle, thanks so much. Does anybody else have a question? You can hit star 6, Michelle, put yourself back on mute. Does anybody else have a question that you want me to address that you need coaching with? Anybody, hit star 6 if you do, and that will unmute you, and it'll take about 10 seconds for it to kick in where I can actually hear you.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah, who's this?
Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. So, Brian, where are you from, by the way?
I am from St. Louis.
All right.
So,
love St. Louis. All right. So, Brian, tell me, what's your question, bud?
Well, I'm reaching a point in my business where I'm needing to add staff. I know it sounds like for some people it might be like, how do you get there? Well, I'm there. We bring in lots of leads from lots of sources. We have probably 10 solid lead generation platforms. I need to add admin staff. I'm standing up literally an ISA team, an inside sales agent team. I have 3 full-time showing agents and 2 part-time showing agents. I handle the listings on our team. I need to figure out how to find good admin people that I can get trained between now and mid-January or late January so that they're stood up and ready to go. I need some idea how to compensate them in a way that's fair and how to position description in those positions, because literally I've been in business for 25 years, so it took me a long time to figure this out, but I like having a life other than business. You're talking about time management. It's a choice.
Yeah.
My choice got punctuated with a health condition that dramatically changed my desire to work from I love my job and I love my career and I can do it 24/7, 365 to I don't want to do this the way I've been doing it. I want my life. So I'm literally have retooled my entire business over the last year and a half. I'm now at a point where I really need to get that admin team in place. And I'm talking probably 2 admin part-time people would be ideal so I could have heavy coverage when I need it and lighter coverage when I don't, but still have people who are trained and ready to go.
Okay.
So I'm open to hearing what you have to say about that.
All right, cool. And I'm sorry, forgive me. What's your name again?
Brian.
Brian, I'm sorry about that, Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, let me just get a sense of your business real quick. And so do you have any support now? I thought you said you did.
Well, what I had a year and a half ago, I was literally me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
And so I brought on 2 full-time showing people, agents to be showing agents, a husband and wife team. And I have 1 full-time person who is literally getting her master's right now. So she's full-time, part-time, depending on the time of the year. They handle many of my buyers. I still do buyers, but I want to focus on sellers for now. And I want to, long-term, get myself out of operations. I want to get up to Rainmaker, broker, build this
yeah.
team.
I got it. Okay, so Brian, let me make sure I got this. So right now, you basically, without getting into part-time, full-time, time, you're you basically have 3 agents that are working with you and working with the buyers and taking out and showings. Is that right?
Yes, and I love it because that gets me my life back.
Yeah, so first of all, what's really good for everybody to hear, and Brian, as I said to you, I try and coach you so everybody can also get value, because there's some agents that are on the call that are like, well, geez, I can't even afford myself, let alone an assistant. But what I want those people to hear is that you realize the same thing Becky was saying, and that is, you know what, having somebody take care of the buyers for me is much better, because the buyers, they do drain the time. They're necessary. They're fun to work with, but you can make a lot of money, but you're only making money if you're in the car showing property, and that's it. And so you made a smart business decision to take you out of the car, so that way you can have more of a personal life, especially with your health concerns. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I'm literally back to an almost 8-to-5 schedule, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, now what you probably have found, though, Brian, is that you made your business more effective, so you're getting more business, more deals put together, but that created a new problem, which is how to manage all this new business, and you don't have that admin person in place, and so that's now starting to screw you up. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I'm getting sucked into admin work, which I don't like, just to get it done. And so I need to shift out of that so I can stay focused on the big picture and growing the team.
Yeah, so before you grow the team anymore, as a matter of fact, if you and I had talked before you got these buyer's agents working with you, I would have told you don't bring on the buyer agents until you had an admin person in place. Because that's what happens. If you don't have that machine behind to support the additional revenue and additional business, then you start getting caught into a problem that you're now in. But that's fine. We're going to fix it. So obviously the first thing you want to do is you don't want to bring on any more buyer's agents or support and those that kind of thing. That's number one. Number two is you're going to have to stop generating some kind of business a little bit to get this admin person in place. What I mean by that is the admin is going to be your right-hand, left-hand person. They're going to have your back. They're going to have your front. This is going to take a tremendous amount of time, Brian, for you to find this person and to train this person. And in you doing so, financially, you're going to see a reduction in production. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so the first thing is you have to accept that. You have to be willing to do that, because if you don't, you're going to hire somebody. They're not going to meet your expectations. You're going to get pissed off, and then you're going to wind up firing them, and then you're going to try and find another person, and you're going to create this vicious cycle, and 2015 is going to be a horrible year for you.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we don't want that to happen. So what you need to do is understand the concept that my mentor, his name is Floyd Wickman. He said something I'll never forget. He called it the success dance. Sometimes you've got to take 2 steps back to go 3 forward. So you're going to be taking 2 steps back financially in production to bring on this person. So you need to accept that, be ready for it, and you owe it to the person you hire to train them properly. So if you're not ready to make that time commitment, then don't hire this person. I'm assuming you are. So to answer your specific question about compensation, you have 2 choices. You can obviously just pay somebody a regular salary, and that's all there is to it. Very simple, very straightforward. The other option, which is the one I prefer, is that perhaps that you give them a little below average salary, but they actually get an override on the business that you get. The reason why that's good is because now you have somebody who's more in partnership with you, and they're committed to your success, and they're going to want to work with you to keep building the business. Plus, they're going to feel some ownership, some kind of equity into it. You know, do you watch Shark Tank, Brian?
Not too often. I don't watch too much television, but I do know the show, and I've watched it before, yes.
Yeah, so there's this guy, and some people will appreciate this. He calls himself Mr. Wonderful, one of the people that, you know, invest in the businesses. And this guy, he's just committed to money. And most of the time what he does is that he tries to work out a deal where he doesn't have any equity in the company, but he does want just a royalty. So every time they make a sale, he gets like $1 or $2 or something like that. So his attitude is like, you know what, I don't want to really be involved in helping you. I just want to get my paycheck. You know, I don't care what you do, you sell something, you pay me. Now, so I prefer having an assistant that has some equity in my success, because then they're going to actually work harder for you to become successful. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I agree strongly with that. I want them aligned with how I get paid.
Yeah, so there's no right formula for that concept. So what you have to do is you have to look at what, because, you know, what we pay in New York is different what they'll pay in St. Louis versus what they'll pay in, you know, Sacramento. So what you need to do is look at, to have a really strong admin person, what is that base salary? What would that salary be if they worked anywhere else? And then what you want to do is cut back that salary just a little bit, so it's a little below average, and then look at how do you want to pay them. Do you want to pay them per new listing? Do you want to give them like $50 every time a listing gets listed, and then give them maybe $150 every time there's a closing? Do you want to give them every time a buyer does a transaction, give them a piece, or don't give them a piece for that and just have their compensation be related to building listing inventory? There's no right way of doing it, so you can just kind of look at your business model and the money that you're making and what can you afford to do. Does that make sense?
Sure.
All right. The other tip that I have for you, and then I mean, I actually can talk about this for quite a while, but we're actually coming to 12 o'clock, so I'm going to finish up the call. The one thing I can tell you, Brian, that's more important than the compensation is that the success of this admin is going to be really dependent on you and how much time you spend on it, which I've already said to you. But the other part is make sure you're real clear about what their job description is. You know, one of the mistakes that I made with admins and that have I've hired is that somehow I got them involved in my personal life of, you know, picking up something at the cleaners for me because I'm traveling, and, you know, I try to have them be my, you know, life assistant. And the problem with that is they weren't committed to the business and growing it, because I was confusing them with my message by having them be involved and also managing my personal stuff too. Does that make sense?
Sure.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm not looking for a personal assistant. Well, not in this role. I'm not looking for a personal assistant. So
exactly. Yeah. But the same concept too here, Brian, is if this person's job is to support the business, to deal with showings, scheduling, termite inspection, home inspections, and following up on contracts and like doing the support stuff, you don't want them getting involved with, can you go run a key over? You know, can you let this buyer in or let this agent in? Like, because you want to make sure that you're clear of what their task is on your team, and don't deviate from that. Because then you're going to confuse them what's important. Because then you're going to be like Michelle, when it's, you know, as far as time management, it's like, well, what am I doing today? Am I doing support stuff? Am I doing showings? Am I doing this? Am I bringing his laundry? Like, so don't have that happen. Keep them focused on tests. Did this help you at all?
Yes. Is there a good place to go to find position descriptions?
To get job descriptions, I know. I think we have some stuff. Do me a favor, send me an email, and let me see. Asking me for that. I'm going to check my files and see if I have something for you. And if I have it, I'll send it to you. And everybody else, I'll put it on the website, the Power Program website for everybody. That's the first thing. In case I don't have anything, Brian, I think if you actually just Googled real estate assistant job description, there might be something that's floating out there that might be something you can copy and paste, all right? But the last thing I would say is you just take the time to sit down and look at, you know, what are the things that you're doing right now that you don't want to be doing, and start writing that out. So that's what I would do.
Yep. Okay.
All right, Brian, thank
you.
Thank you. All right, so gang, let me just do one more thing before I say goodbye to you. Sorry, gang, it's a technical thing here. Here's what I'm going to say is that if you guys have, what you should be focusing on is working on your business, not just working in it. Take the buyers out, focus a little bit more on the buyers until the second week in January. The magazine that I gave you this month, there's a ton of stuff. Oh, one of the things we did different is Joanne Mills, who does our monthly interviews of our power agents, she wanted to do a three-part series where she interviewed me, And instead of doing just audio, we actually did it as video. So you can download the audio portion of that file, but you've got some video there for you. The magazine this month is over 50 pages this month, so there's a lot of great material in it. After you log in, go through it. It's all self-explanatory. Print out. I do want to see, hang on one second, gang, if there's something. There's a lot of buyer agency stuff that I included this month in this magazine about what you expect from a buyer, what a buyer can expect from you. So that's in the magazine this month. There's some questions that are great to use on a listing appointment with a homeowner. So there's really great stuff in there. So make sure you take a look at the magazine. All right, I'm going to unmute everybody and see if I can hear you. All right, Gary, you're all there. Say hello. No? Okay, wait one more time. All right, there we go. Everybody
hello.
Say hello now. Say hello.
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 Okay.
Hello.
So we can all hear each other. There's so many people on this call, so that's why I had to mute it. But I wanted everybody to hear everybody. I want to wish you all a really happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Just have fun this next few weeks. And thank you for being on the call. I hope it was valuable. You guys learn anything? Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, great. All right, gang, thank you. I appreciate you all. You put a smile on my face, so thanks for participating. Go out there, make a difference in the world, especially with your family. Keep smiling, and I look forward to talking to you on the next call, okay?
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Daryl.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Sayonara.
Hi, Dale. Hello, Dale.